quarter has been started. Now I'll go into the Kindle. And we're in NTI Philippians. Does anybody else know exactly what chapter?
I had it on sheet on 3. I don't know if that's...
Okay, well, let me look. It's somewhere around there, 3 or 4. Let's see, I think I'm in the Bible here. I need to get out of the Bible. I need to go to NTI. And get to NTI Philippians. Which I'm not as good at finding stuff on the Kindle. Let me just get rid of the word NTI. Try just Philippians. Oh, here it comes. Woo-hoo. Okay, let me look at chapter 3, see if this looks like something we've read. Nope, I think we're on NTI Philippians chapter 3. This doesn't look familiar to me. Oh, yes, it does. This is the meditation. We did this. So let's see. We are on page 353 in the Kindle. What do you guys have? We're going to go to chapter 4. 354 in the paperback book. So we're in NTI Philippians chapter 4. I hope. Therefore, stand firm within your true desire, and you stand firm within the feelings of the heart. Do not be distracted. Be the love that you are, and the love that you are shall be known by you. Rejoice in the gratitude of yourself, and it is yourself that you shall see in all. Stand firm within the purpose of your heart, and your purpose shall be multiplied within you. Now, I love that. I love that because, you know, what this is saying, it reminds me when Peace Pilgrim said, if you live up to the highest light that you have, more light is given. So what this is saying, it starts off by telling us, do not be distracted, which again means that we can be. And, you know, the way that I envision this is our will is like a magnet, kind of. And if I will for distractions, I'm going to get more and more distractions. I'm going to find myself kind of moving further and further away from my spiritual practice, further and further away from spiritual thought, right? Thought going on in the mind. I'm just going to start getting caught up in other stuff. But if I will for my true desire, will for my spiritual purpose, really, really hold it in my heart, I'm going to start being less and less attracted to distractions because that becomes the magnet. I'm going to start wanting to spend more and more time in contemplation, whether it's in contemplation sitting down with a book or whether it's just in contemplation while I am moving around doing what I'm having to do. But my mind is with the truth, right? My mind is watching myself in the way that you watch yourself when you're in purpose. So it's like no matter what you do with your will, you're going to get more of that. So the question is, what do you want to do with your will? What do you want more of? Right? Do you want more distraction away from? Because you know, what we're being told is you can waste this lifetime. Is that what you want to do? Or do you really want to become very, very deep into purpose? And you might not be able to go very, very deep into purpose right this second, right? Like you might, you know, I don't think most of us can say, oh, starting right now, I'm just going to do nothing but think about purpose. Because you know what? The distraction comes back. But you got that magnet of your true desire. So if you start saying, well, I'm at least going to spend 20 minutes in the morning with it. And you know what? Maybe later I start, you know what? I think I can add 10 minutes at night too. And then later, you know, maybe I can even at lunch do 5 minutes. And it just keeps growing, right? So if you start putting your will with true desire, pretty soon you're going to find yourself absorbed in that. And so, you know, that's what this is saying. This is saying, do not be distracted. Stand firm within the purpose of your heart, and your purpose shall be multiplied. It will become more and more and more. That will happen naturally just through the magnet of your will. But again, we have to choose what we want to do with our will. Our willingness is the word that is often used, but it's the same thing. I love also this line, be the love that you are, and the love that you are shall be known by you. Because we always experience our own decisions. No matter, you know, so if I decide, you know, to judge Jacqueline, Jacqueline may never know it. You know, she doesn't experience that judgment, you know. But I do. You know, when Jacqueline walks through the door now, I feel that stab of pain or that fear of looking her in the eye or, you know, just that resentment that there she is again, right? I experience that. So I'm going to experience whatever decisions I make in my mind. So this is saying, decide to be the love that you are. And guess what you're going to experience? You're going to experience that, right? Be the love that you are, and the love that you are shall be known by you. Because you're going to experience the decisions that you make within your own mind. That's going to be the way you view the world, the way you view yourself.
Yeah, you're always experiencing the subject. A lot of times we think we're experiencing the object.
Right.
It's always the subject.
It's always the subject.
Yeah.
And that's true for, you know, you could call it the negative or the positive.
Right.
Right? You're always experiencing
right.
yourself. So choose to be the lover, as you were saying earlier, to stay in the center. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's why nobody else can actually affect you. You guys can all sit here and judge the hell out of me. And you guys will all experience your own judgment. But if I'm sitting here in total acceptance, in total love, in total, you know, joy, guess what I'm experiencing? Right? So the hell with you guys. But that's the way it works. You know, and I do remember when I first started this and I was trying to let go of judgment, I had this little thought, which was, of course, an ego doubt, because it's always trying to help you not to let go of things, right? I had this thought, but what if she judges me? You know, well, the hell, I mean, does it matter if she judges me? If I don't judge me or I don't judge her, I experience the peace of God. It doesn't matter if she judges me.
Yeah, and you know, that's what Francine said a while ago that was so, that has been so helpful to me. That's taking responsibility for your sight. She was talking
yes.
about how
yes.
she feels is not affected by other people. It's about her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why responsibility for sight is the first step.
Yeah, yeah. And lots of people still have the idea, you know, in fact, someone said it to me recently, said, you know, if I, you know, become purified and I have a pure mind, then I will start to attract nice people to me. Well, maybe you will, but maybe you won't. The point is you won't care.
It won't matter.
It won't matter. It won't matter. You'll be happy anyway.
Right, because you only see their truth.
Yeah, exactly. It won't matter.
Right. There's no nice and not nice.
Yeah, it's yeah. So it's not the idea that the world becomes perfect because you became healed. It's that you see only perfection because you became healed. That's slightly different. Scenario. Yeah, I mean, they did hang Jesus on a cross. Mm-hmm. They weren't saying, oh, you great guy, you know? Right? But he was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, verses 8 and 9. Keep your mind with all things loving, and with all things peaceful, and with all things joyous. And these are what you shall bring to you. Remember me, and the words I have shared with you. Mull over them. Share them with friends. Practice them with your every breath, and thyself shall be known. So when this says again, keep your mind with all things loving, with all things peaceful, and with all things joyous, even though it's using the word things, it doesn't mean think about, oh, how much I like to hike, and think about, oh, how much I, you know, like my partner. You know, it means stay with those kinds of thoughts. You know, and a loving thought is very simple. Like a loving thought is maybe if I do see that Jacqueline is judging me, you know, she's made it obvious. A loving thought for me is just like, that's okay. You know, I can take that. I can handle that. You know, and just accepting it. That's a loving thought. And if I say that, that's okay. I can take that. I can handle that. And I feel that love in my heart. That's my experience, right? I've taken that acceptance and that love. And I brought it to me. It doesn't mean that she has to drop her judgment. I get the love anyway. Right? So if you stay with those types of thoughts, you know, we often call them Holy Spirit thoughts, or lately I've called them more corrective thoughts. That's the word I use more. If you stay with the corrective thoughts in your mind, your experience gets better and better and better. Now, the outside does sometimes change. We all know that. But it doesn't always. We know that too. And again, it doesn't matter. Your experience changes even if the outside stays the same.
And the greater gift is when it doesn't change and you're okay with it.
I agree, because then you know something real has happened in you.
Right.
You know. Yes, I agree with that. Verses 10 to 13. Be joyful in all circumstances, and more joy shall be added to you. For as you give, you shall receive. This is the law of love. So this is reminding us what we taught in Ephesians. What we were taught in Ephesians is that whatever we accept as true in our mind, thinking, whatever we accept as true, we actually send out to the universe, and it becomes a part of the paint that is painting the appearance. But anything we send out also comes back. So if I'm always worried in my mind and always fearful, worried about this and worried about that and believing all of these worry thoughts, I'm sending all of that fear energy out into the world. I'm helping to paint a fearful picture. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, I get to feel more fear. Right? It's like a cycle. Mm-hmm. Well, this is saying the cycle works the same way with love. The cycle works the same way with joy. So if you take the time to really think about joy, think about love, think about gratitude, you're sending that out into the universe. That's painting the picture, and that's coming back to you. You know, the cycle works the same. The cycle doesn't change. What changes is what you're putting into the cycle.
Yeah, and everything returns to source.
Absolutely. Yeah, ideas leave not their source.
Right.
Yeah. Verses 14 to 20. Be grateful, therefore, for the gifts that are stored in the inner chamber of your heart. Put your faith with those gifts, and to thy motive you are true. Now, last time we met, we did this meditation where we looked within, and the way the meditation led us is, first you see kind of the outer within. You're within, but it's the outer within. And what you see in the outer within are those thoughts that are just mulling around out there. They may be like worry type of thoughts. They may be foreboding type of thoughts, loneliness type of thoughts, attack thoughts, defense thoughts. You know, they're just there. And then we went deeper within. And when we went deeper within, we found a wall, the personal self, right? Very, very personal self. And then we went through the wall, deeper within, and that's where we found the true self. And that's where we found the joy and the peace and the love, right? So what this is saying is, now that you know, right now, while you're not purely healed, you still got these attack thoughts and these fear thoughts, and they're there. You've still got this personal self. It's there. But you've also got the joy, the love, the peace. It's there too, right? So you can take time every day, if you want to get in touch with that. You know, you may have to move through looking at some outer stuff. You may have to move through a sense of personal self, right? But if you just keep moving, whether you do it through contemplation or meditation or inspiration, if you just keep moving, you can get in touch with your true self every day. And then when you walk into your day, you take what you found there with you and put that out into the day. Instead of, you know, Marianne Williamson was at the last San Francisco conference as the keynote speaker. And she said that for a number of years, she would get up in the morning, and I think she said she had coffee, and would watch the news. And of course, you know, she's really interested in politics and stuff. So, you know, Marianne's getting all fired up while she's watching the news. And then she'd go out into the world and she's getting angry and, you know, and all this stuff. And she says, finally, she realized she needed to change the way she started her day. Instead of starting her day with a cup of coffee and the news, she needed to start the day with the Course, because, you know, the Course is her thing. And so then she started getting up and spending the morning with the Course, going into going into inspiration and contemplation, getting in touch with that part of herself. And then she would go out into the world, you know, same kind of day. Her life didn't change, but now she was different, right? So it's a matter of taking that time to get in touch with that inner self. And you can do it even if the outer self is still there. You're just going deeper. And then you go out. But if you don't take that time, guess which self you're with? Right?
The same old
outer one. Yeah, the outer self. Yeah. So be grateful, therefore, for the gifts that are stored in the inner chamber of your heart. Put your faith with those gifts, and to thy motive, you are true. Greet your brother as yourself, remembering that he also is as you are. Amen. And you'll notice is and are capitalized. So that means, you know, no matter how big of a jerk he appears to be, or no matter, you know, how much he's ripping you off, or, you know, whatever, you know, take the time to go within yourself. Remember, you had an outer area too. And you could have been the selfish son of a bitch today, right? You could have. You had every bit of that potential, right? But you went within and you found the inner self before you went out into the world. Where if he had gone within, he would have found the same inner self. The only difference between you and him is he didn't take the time to go within today. Maybe he doesn't in this lifetime. But he's got the same inner self.
Right?
Right? So remember that. There is no difference between him and you, no matter how he appears to be acting. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, really, the truth is that I'm as much Regina as you are.
Yeah.
Really.
Yes.
You know, in truth.
In truth.
Really, it comes down to that, you know, and with everybody, you know, treat each as your brother, you know, as you would yourself. It's literal,
yes.
You know, it's not figurative, it's not metaphorical, you know. So, I mean, what am I? I'm the presence on which everything arises.
You know, when I first started scribing with the Holy Spirit, you know, like I had that day with that vision, right? And it asked me to scribe. The next morning when I woke up, the first scribing came. And the first scribing was the interpretation of love thy neighbor as thyself. And what that scribing said is, in order to do that, first you've got to get to know yourself. You can't love your neighbor as yourself if you don't know your true self yet.
I agree. And that's everything goes back to the subject.
Yes.
Everything starts here. You
yeah.
know, and like when I hear, you know, love your brother, love your brother. If you don't have it here, you don't recognize
no,
it anywhere if, else.
No, you won't. You won't. You have to take that time to go within and find that part of you first. Then you can love your neighbor as yourself. But you can't do it without having some knowledge yourself of who you really are.
Seems like there's some rock and roll song. Maybe it's Bob Dylan that says, "You want me to love you, and you can't even stand yourself."
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of, there's a quote I've always wanted to ask you about. 60 Minutes, Bob Dylan quote: "Happiness just isn't really a big priority for me."
Okay. So.
What do you make of that?
The right-minded interpretation of that. The right-minded interpretation of that would be defining happiness then as conditional. You know, so, you know, and many people will define happiness that way. Like, I'm happy if you guys like me. I'm happy if the weather is right. I'm happy if I'm famous. I'm happy if I'm rich. I'm happy if, you know, and so if that's the definition of happiness, which some people will say it is, some people say they define happiness this way and joy differently, right? If that's the definition of happiness, then in that case, what you have to do is you have to let go of happiness. Then happiness is just not a priority for me. And then you get to what people would give a different name to, which is joy. The joy doesn't require happiness. I don't know for sure if that's what Bob Dylan meant, though.
That's for sure what Bob Dylan meant.
We'd have to ask him.
No, I'm
you're sure? Yeah.
As an odds maker, I...
You better know. Yeah, so in that case, I have to let go of happiness in order to know joy. I just use the two words the same. They're not different to me.
This is surprising to hear somebody say that.
Well, yeah, if you don't have any meaning, any understanding of what he's talking about, that's a pretty surprising statement. Happiness just isn't a priority.
90% of his songs, people really didn't have quite a clue what he was getting at.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Bob Dylan. I'm a real Bob Dylan fan. It wasn't what he said, but you could just feel the message. You could feel what he was saying. It's like you can't, even people would ask, what do these lyrics mean? You can't ask, you know, it's not, it's like art.
What's beyond genius?
Yeah.
What's the upgrade from genius? What's the next?
I don't know.
It's divine.
Yeah, I was thinking nothing, but my nothing equals your divine.
He's way beyond. Dylan's way beyond genius.
Okay, well, it looks like NCI Colossians chapter 1. I was looking to see if it was short and easy. But it looks like it's not, and so I think that we should wait actually until I get back from St. Louis to start it. Again, I'll send out another email because there's a lot of people not here, but next week I am in St. Louis, so next week there's no NTI. We will meet the week after that. So our assignment then just comes from NTI Philippians chapter 4, which I thought was pretty sweet. It was small. We spent a lot of time with something very small there, but it was so sweet. You know, it's talking about taking the time to go within, find yourself, and then be that, right? So I say we do that for the next 2 weeks. What do you guys think?
Okay. I go exploring.
Yeah. Take the time to go within, find yourself, and then be that. And that's what Tom was talking about before we turned the recorder on, actually. He's just talking about staying center. And he was saying he can feel himself when he's leaving that center. And that's what you want to start paying attention to. You want to notice when you're leaving your inner chamber and going back to the outer chamber, right? Becoming those things that were outside the wall. And then when you do, you just want to take a moment or whatever you need to do to move back to the inner chamber. Try to spend as much time in the inner chamber as possible. Being yourself, not your... Being your capital S self, not your little S self. And with that, I will stop the recorder, and then we will take a little bit of silence, and then we'll see what you guys want to talk about next.